Women Talk Biz with Vicki DeArmon and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
And welcome to Women Talk Biz. I'm Michelle Marquess, and in studio with me, of course, is my buddy, my pal, the entrepreneur extraordinaire, Vicki DeArmon, is here to introduce us to some more people who will be at the Women Talk Biz annual confab coming up on April 25th.
Yes, and it's a great event. We have some great people calling in and talking to us today in studio, so this is going to be a fabulous show. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to talk about, Exchange Bank is our presenting sponsor for this event. So they have six presenters at the round tables, and you know, they're diverse speakers, so everything from, you know, finding funding to how to run your social media to how to network. So it's pretty compelling. So we are also working with them and to produce a toolkit. It's a business toolkit. So everybody who comes to the confab will get this business toolkit with this, you know, fantastic information in it.
Cool.
Yeah, and so that's just kind of like a little bonus thing. So I always like to mention that because,
you
know, it's really a great benefit of the event to have Exchange Bank as our presenting sponsor.
And to be able to take all that information back home with you as well is invaluable. And would you like to introduce our first guest?
I would. I'm so excited because Jessica Smith is here from Exchange Bank.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm just going to say a little bit about you first, okay?
Sure.
Because I have your bio here, and I just wanted to say that Jessica's been a business sales executive for 15 years, and she's the merchant sales officer at Exchange Bank for the last 3 years. She's got a lot of professional kudos here. She's currently on the board with the Sonoma County Professional Women. She's an ambassador with the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber, and she's a member of the Santa Rosa Metro Connect. So pretty exciting to have her here. You know, it was funny when we were deciding who was going to be some of the presenters from Exchange Bank. Sally says to me, oh my gosh, Jessica is such a great networker. I hope I can get her to do this networking thing. And so let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
You've been a networker for, you love networking, you do it regularly, and that's your reputation.
I have. So I've been in sales for about 15 years. And, you know, even though I've always been in a sales position, I've always considered it a relationship building position. I've done a lot of networking, and a lot of that includes just building relationships with people with all different industries. I always say it's not what you know, but who you know.
Yeah, that is a business tenet that sometimes we forget that. You know, we get down and start doing the tasks. What I love about your table topic, it says networking, conquer your fears and get going. You know, so many people have trepidation and nervousness around networking. Why, you know, how do you overcome that, or what would you suggest to them?
Absolutely. So I think one of the misconceptions is you have to network within your own industry. I think if you are worried about getting out there and networking, then find an industry that you're interested in, something that you'll be able to network with people with the same interests and hobbies. There's so many different things out there. I think if you go into an event with some questions, if you plan ahead and have some questions to ask some of the people at the event, then you can be prepared. People love to talk about themselves. So if you ask them questions, then you know, a lot of times they'll talk back, and that's as, you know, it's as easy as that.
Well, I found myself standing at the door sometimes and afraid to go into an event, and I think that tool, you know, having a few questions in your arsenal is such a great tool, because you feel like you have to be the presenter, you have to say something, but really what you really need to do is be interested in other people.
Yeah, and you have to remember everybody's there for the same reasons. You know, they're there to network and to get to know each other. The most obvious reasons is, you know, to generate referrals, but networking can also give you so many opportunities and connections within the community that it can open up a whole world to you.
So much easier to reach out to somebody after you've met somewhere and say, oh, you know, and then you know them, they recognize your email, they recognize your call, and then things just flow from there. So I do think networking is central. And, you know, that's a lot about what the confab's about, too. You know, mm-hmm. When we did this last year, a lot of the women said, oh, gosh, I want more opportunities to network. So we've built that into this year's event. So a lot of people will probably be coming by your table to see how they can maximize it right then and there.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is, you know, you want to be consistent. So you can't just show up at one networking event and never be seen again and hope to make those connections. You know, so be consistent in whatever you choose to do. If you choose to go one way, just stay with there. show up weekly, monthly, whenever the events take place, and you'll see the same people, and that's really when the connections start for me.
Yep, you have to. It's sort of like being the new kid at school. You just have to keep showing up.
Exactly.
And eventually they'll let you in.
Each time it gets a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I like that approach to networking, and I like that approach to people skills, too, because I think it's just vital for, especially for women in business.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you show up to any event, you just smile, be happy, and make other people feel good about themselves. You know, that's really, people are going to remember that, and people are going to want to connect with you.
You also gave me another tip earlier, which was about bringing someone with you sometimes.
Yeah.
If you have a little bit of nervousness to not go by yourself into that room, but to bring a partner or a buddy.
Absolutely. So, if you want to bring a wingman, that's great. You want to make sure that you don't just talk exclusively with them, that you guys do branch out. But a lot of times it's good to have somebody there that knows you and you can kind of feed off of each other and actually talk about each other's business and promote each other. So that's always a good avenue, and it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable as well.
Yeah, I like this idea also of kind of a little bit getting out of your comfort zone when you're in business, you know, to do something that's a little bit, you know, challenging. So if you just stay in your office, you're not, you know, but if you go out and you make these commitments to go and network with people, for a lot of people can be that new thing that they're doing to challenge themselves.
Yeah, and it's definitely important as women. The more uncomfortable I am, it's the opportunity to grow the most. In different avenues, you know, I do get uncomfortable, but I find those are the most teachable moments in my life.
Yeah. And I think you did a great little summary for me where you said, you know, it's really great to have kind of a short take on your business or on what you're doing so that you can kind of explain that to people. You know, if you're sitting in your office all day, sometimes you don't have that ready.
Yes, actually. So a lot of people call that the elevator speech. Mm-hmm. But have something that can, you know, tell somebody else what you do in a short period of time that's enticing, that makes them want to learn more about you.
Yeah, I think that's great. Are business cards passe, or are those still? Tell me, Jessica, I want to know.
Business cards are still very much the norm. I mean, with social media and everything out there, there's definitely different forms of business cards these days, but it's always important to go to any networking event with a stack of business cards and be ready to hand those out, because that's something somebody can take with them. They can see what they, you know, you do. They can keep it on them, and it's easily accessible.
Yeah, and then you're not fumbling for that pen to write down the name, and kind of moves things along. Yeah.
Or do a search online, or, you know, it's still something that's very tangible and necessary to have in business.
I found it very useful, too. I mean, you know, when you're sending that pitch later, and you want to spell the person's name right, you want to know really where they are, you know, and your memory does not serve sometimes. You know, you get back and you don't remember how all that. So, what would you, if you were offering our listeners a challenge today, what challenge would you give them to start their networking careers?
So I think if you are, you're in business and you're trying to get out there, go to a networking event that interests you. And, you know, don't be shy. Bring some business cards and start a conversation. And like I said before, it might be uncomfortable at first, but it gets easier. And that's the way businesses are run these days, by connections. So it's definitely vital for success in any business.
I thank you so much for coming in. I can't wait to see all the people flocking to your table at the round table session. They're going to want to have your table first so they can do the rest of the event.
I don't know.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. This is Jessica Smith from Exchange Bank. Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back. You're listening to Women Talk Biz on KSRO. Women Talk Biz with Vicki DeArmond and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
And welcome back to Women Talk Biz. I'm Michelle Marquess with Vicki DeArmond, and to introduce our next guest, please.
I'm so excited for our next guest. This is Chanel Reynolds. She has written a book that I think everybody should have in their personal library. What Matters Most? I don't know if I can say this on air.
Well, let's just say it.
Let's try it. The Get Your Together Guide to Wills, Money, Insurance, and Life's What Ifs. And welcome, Chanel.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you're here to talk to us about this.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
I hope you can get away with saying the word.
We have a button that we can use. I'll deploy it.
The button will be deployed. So, listen, you're doing an event for us in Sonoma County at Sally Tomatoes on March 28th. It's from 9:30 to 11. And we're inviting women to come because this is so important. Tell us a little bit about why. I know these are sad circumstances, but why did you write this book?
Well, to be honest, some of it had to do with the word that's hard to say out loud. When, a number of years ago, my husband was hit by a van and was in the ER and the ICU, and I didn't know if he was going to, be dead when I got to the hospital or ever be able to get better. I was literally standing at the foot of his hospital bed saying to myself, oh, my God, I don't have my together. Mm-hmm. And it feels like those are real honest words from a very scary, honest moment. And that's the way I think we really talk and feel about this stuff. And so after a few years, I put out a little website basically saying, wow, here's all the stuff I wish I would have done. And instead of a few hundred people looking at it, hundreds of thousands and then millions of people looked at it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up writing the book because it's important. I think it was important for me personally, and people kept asking me to.
I can totally understand it. You know, it's a topic and an area we don't want to go down. We don't want to take care of it until we have to. And I think your story really, expresses why you should. How do you still convince people who haven't had a tragedy or something happen to them to move forward?
Yeah, well, there are definitely negative triggers that give us all a kick in the pants to realize, oh, wow, I should have done that. All of my closest friends and family members all have wills now. So if something, so there are negative triggers. And then there are also really positive ones. People end up looking into getting their estate planning done when they have kids or buy a home or get married. So I feel like if we start working into the plans, the positive plans of our lives, that we just take care of, our wills and checking into our insurance the same way we do, change the furnace filters or go get our annual mammograms, then doing it becomes less scary and just part of what we do.
It's part of life maintenance. It's just, what we do because we're grown-ups.
Exactly. It's much more pleasant, frankly, than doing the spring cleaning on your refrigerator or some of the other things. mammograms hurt. Sitting down and signing a couple of documents, that's actually not as painful, even if we don't want to actually do it.
Well, and I think some of the things on your checklist, too, it really takes it back to, what are your partner's passwords in case, they're incapacitated? What are some of the medical things? Who has the, jurisdiction to do things for the other person if you don't lay that out prior to something happening?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, some of the things that ended up feeling like a mountain I had to climb later were these simple, simple things. Just the password to his phone would have taken 5 seconds to write down, and I spent dozens of hours in anguish trying to unlock the combination and getting locked out for more and more minutes. Small things make a really big difference. It doesn't have to be a laborious thing to write down your end-of-life wishes, and you don't have to technically get it notarized. But if you write a few things down and have some conversations ahead of time, we can't project manage bad things never happening to us, but what we can do is take away a lot of that worry and confusion and what ifs and questions and just not having answers when you really, really need them. And so that's what I think is most important, is when things go wrong or someone gets sick or eventually dies, hopefully after a long, lovely life, it's a really bad time to be asking yourself, did they want to be cremated or buried or what for the first time? It's nice to have those answers ahead of time so you can just be in the room or be with your family or sit with your feelings.
I think my context for it has always been a little bit negative, but the way you're saying it's sort of like it's the way you can tidy up your life a little bit and, to get things in order and give you that feeling that, you're ready should anything happen, because life is a lot of what ifs.
It is a lot of what ifs. And I personally, being predisposed to some catastrophic thinking.
Exactly.
It really helps me turn that noise dial down in my head when it's like, oh God, what if there's an earthquake and I can't get across the bridge to pick up my son? Or, you know, what if something happens to my parents who live halfway across the country? So I can say to myself, oh, actually, I have this emergency fund and there's an extra key to get into the house. And, you know, I can't stop anything from happening. You know, I don't have a time machine yet. That would be great. Let me know if you guys do.
Yeah.
But I can turn that noise dial down. So if something or when something happens, I'm not wondering, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. Okay, this is just fabulous, and I really hope that a lot of you come and are with us when Chanel presents What Matters Most, the Get Your Together Guide to Wills, Money, Insurance, and Life's What Ifs. And we're going to be doing this March 28th at Sally Tomatoes. You can get your tickets at womentalkbiz.net. The net's the important part there. And the book is part of the ticket.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know. We don't do any books without any events without the book being part of the ticket. So we like that. So, Chanel, thank you so much.
That is Chanel Reynolds, and you'll be able to see her in person at her appearance at Sally Tomatoes March 28th. Sign up online at womentalkbiz.net. We'll be right back.
Women Talk Biz with Vicki DeArmond and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
And welcome back to Women Talk Biz. I'm Michelle Marquess with Vicki DeArmond. And our guest this segment is
Julie Hawkins. She is doing a roundtable called Say No Without Guilt, 6 Achievable Steps to Empowerment. Ooh, let's try to get like one or two out of her today, right? Please don't say no, Julie. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi.
I see here on your bio you are the founder of The Biz Psychic, and I am sort of enamored of that title. Can you talk a little bit about your business and what you do?
Yes, I would love to. I am psychic. I give readings, and I found that about 90% of my business was businesses, and mostly entrepreneurs, but a lot of business professionals. It just kind of evolved. It was given to me through my universal guidance, and that's how I became the Biz Psychic. And it actually evolved even from there with my Say No Without Guilt and empowerment steps. They really go hand in hand.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, is the core problem that business people have, is this, our women, especially women business owners, is saying no without guilt?
Exactly. You know, women are just culturalized, sort of genetically programmed to want to serve and please, and they tend to put others first, and it is not always the best way for them to do business. They kind of forget what's most important in their business when they do that, and they are their business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So I'm dying to know some of these steps. Not all of them. Save some for the confab, but give us a few. What are these steps?
The steps follow a format of an acronym called TAILOR. And so what I really teach and what I'm probably most passionate about and what women really need to pay attention to is figuring out what their trigger is when they start feeling guilty, when they engage in self-sabotaging behavior. It just sort of happens unconsciously, and what I call the knee-jerk response of saying yes when they really wanted to say no, or putting others first. And so my goal is really to help women recognize when they are being triggered and what that trigger is.
Okay. And how do we, in the moment, how do we say no to things? I mean, I've been told before, you know, don't answer, say, can I get back to you? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of those kind of skills that just kind of move people back a little bit so we can get in that space and say, have I been triggered? And all those kinds of things that might lead us to a yes when we want to say no.
It's a great question, and I'm really glad you asked it, because it leads me to my favorite answer, which is my 7 magic words.
Let's hear those 7 magic words.
And they're really, really specific.
Okay.
And intentional. My background is in NLP, and language is very, very critical to communication. As the saying goes, words matter. So my seven magic words are, I'd like to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my trainings, I get a lot of people say, oh, that just sounds like maybe. And I'm like, mm-mm. The words are very specific. They allow somebody who is used to saying yes or sure or just responds in the affirmative or gives in, that moment to pause, which is the and I'd like to think about this is really a very considerate and considered response.
That's what I think. It sounds respectful. You know, it's like, oh, you've told me something interesting. I'm going to think about it.
Exactly. What I tell people, mostly women, although I have had men in my trainings, is that be careful that you don't change the wording. And what I most commonly hear women or men change it to is, let me think about this.
Oh.
And I say, no. That is conveys an energy of asking for permission.
I see.
Yeah. And you don't need permission.
You can just think about it without permission.
Exactly. Yeah. And I also tell people this language, which is what I call bridge language, because it bridges the gap between where you are now and where you want to get to, which is saying a confident and considerate response and setting a boundary if needed. It really bridges that gap. If you could say no now and feel good about it, you would be doing it.
Yes. I know that. Thank you.
But women who have a hard time with that need this bridge language.
Yeah. Also, Julie, I'm interested in some of these triggers. Are those common triggers that a lot of women have in business, or are they always specific to the individual?
Well, there is one common trigger I would probably say is common to women in business, and that is a feeling of, I need to say yes because I need this client.
Yes. We were just discussing this.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And what I, again, tell people in business is that when you are true to your values, when you are clear about what your expectations are, when you communicate to yourself, to the universe, to potential clients, what's most important about working with them or having them work with you, then you get really clear really fast about who are the people for you. And it's interesting. I had a client just the other day. I gave her a reading not too long ago, and she's in this mindset of lack and scarcity.
Yes.
And when I gave her the reading, I said, it's very clear this is coming for you. This is coming, and I want you to really practice some patience and tapping into your own inner truth and knowing who you are and what's most important to you. And it's not, money is not usually the top part of that list.
Yes.
It is important, of course. That's why we all make a living, right?
Yeah. Julie, are you going to be doing readings at the at your round tables?
Am I going to what? I hear
are you going
part.
To be doing readings at your round tables?
No.
That might be very popular, I'm telling
you.
It's
all logic.
Okay. It's the right side of the brain. No, thank you so much for coming on with us on the show. And we're really excited that you're going to be at the Women Talk Biz Annual Confab on April 25th. So I know you have lots to share with the women who are going to be there. So thank you so much, Julie.
You're so welcome. I'm super excited. My passion is definitely empowering women.
Yes, we'll see that there. Mine too. Take care. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks so much.
That is Julie Hawkins, who will be part of the Women Talk Biz Confab. You can find out more online at womentalkbiz.net. And that's wrapping up the show. I'm Michelle Marquis here along with Vicki DeArmond, and we'll see you next time.